Hello and welcome to another episode of Video Nasties. My name is Maxwell Haddad. Thank you for listening. It's 9:47 a.m. on Christmas Eve, 2021. I hope you're all having a lovely and safe Christmas Eve. I'm off today, which I'm very happy about. I'm not getting paid, which I'm not happy about. But I'm also off tomorrow, and I'm getting paid. So I'm very happy about that. And I also got sort of a bonus this year in the form of gift cards, so I'm happy about that. So I got my water bottle from work, in case anyone was wondering. I found the other gift card. I'm headed out into the snowy tundra to pick up some fresh buds. I'm picking up some Scout Breath to smoke on, so I can smoke on me. And I'm also picking up some last-minute Christmas gifts for the fam. So that's what I'm doing now. And I'm just smoking on a little bud before I go on my journey, my adventure. So I want to thank everyone for listening. I might go use the bathroom before I leave. But thank you for listening. I hope you have a happy and safe Christmas. Today's episode will be about The Matrix Resurrections, which I watched last night and I was disappointed in. Yeah, I mean, it definitely presents some things to talk about, some interesting things. I want to say right off the bat that there were things about the movie that I liked. So it wasn't all bad. It just, some of it was bad, like genuinely bad. Like, at times it was laughably bad, and at other times it was kind of interesting. So, is it better than the sequels? In some ways it's worse. Well, no, I don't know if that's possible. The sequels are some of the worst shit I've ever seen. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely better in some ways. All right, I'll just get into it. So at first, it was redoing the first Matrix, and it was doing it a lot worse. And I really didn't like that. I wasn't feeling that at all. And then it kind of got a little better once Keanu Reeves showed up. But he's not very good in the movie. And Carrie Ann Moss is okay in the movie. It was nice to see her again. She's a good actress. She was awesome as Trinity in the original. But I don't know. Everything's just kind of weird and off and awkward in this one. They have a conversation, and, like, some of the dialogue was kind of okay and kind of interesting and kind of good. But some of it was laughably bad. I mean, that's kind of, like, the whole movie. I mean, it was nice to see two characters sit down and have a conversation in a movie, because that's something you just don't see in movies anymore. And those are my favorite moments in movies. It's just that the dialogue wasn't good enough to sustain it. I mean, but it was also cool to see those two characters back together again. I mean, that was undeniably exciting. So there was that. And then the other scene I wanted to mention before I sign off for now, and then I'll be back on after my adventure. The other scene I wanted to mention was with the new, I guess, it's the new Agent Smith. And he's, okay, so basically the idea is Neo is now a famous game designer, and he's designed this game called The Matrix. So there is this meta quality to it, and I kind of liked that, actually. I kind of liked, that innovation or that, addition, whatever you want to call it. It's just that I didn't like... I don't know, Neo's just more interesting when he's down on his luck. You know, you don't want to see this, whatever, famous, hugely successful Neo. It's just not interesting. So I didn't like it at the same time. But I did think it was interesting. He designed this, I guess it's a virtual reality game called The Matrix. I mean, the problem is, like, how does any of this relate to... I mean, forget the sequels. How does any of this relate to the first one? Like... he's a freed mind. He knows about the Matrix. So now he's back in the corporate world designing video games based on the Matrix. Like, you think about it, it makes no sense. But then he meets with his boss, who's like, yeah, I guess the new agent, Agent Smith. And he's talking about how the studio was going to make a fourth Matrix with or without them. So it's up to him whether he wants to be a part of it. And he's talking about the video game, but I was also like, and they even said Warner Brothers. And I was like, okay, so is he talking about this movie? Is this Lana Wachowski saying, okay, they were going to make a fourth Matrix with or without me, so I decided to make it. Here you go. Here's this crap. Almost like I purposefully made it bad. Now, I don't think that's what it was. I think it's meant to be, like, meta comedy. I don't know. Like, meta. It's supposed to be, like, a cool meta moment, but, like, also be funny and also kind of, like, the movie's like, oh, you know, we don't want to take ourselves too seriously. That's, like, I think that's part of it. And that was part of the movie, like, the whole Morpheus thing when he's like, I'm Morpheus. And then he's like, oh, I'm just kidding. And it's, like, this weird thing. It's, like, this weird way to undercut the original. Like, you look at the original, and it's just the tone is just perfect. And, you know, Lawrence Fishburne is amazing. I guess he didn't want to be part of this one. I don't know. I don't know the backstory, and I don't think they've released the information. Keanu Reeves and Carrie Ann Moss both agreed to be part of it. Lana Wachowski agreed to be part of it. Now, again, there is always that possibility that that's real, that that's the truth, that Warner Brothers was going to make a fourth Matrix sequel with or without Lana Wachowski. So she said, fuck it, I'll do it if they're going to make it anyway. But then she put that in the screenplay and revealed it in the movie. And apparently the studio had no problem with this. I mean, I do find it hard to believe, but it's a possibility. Hello, welcome back. Or I guess welcome back to myself, since this is the same episode. So I'll be talking about The Matrix Resurrections. Before I get more into that, and really I don't actually have that much to say about it, because I really didn't like it very much. Not even very much. I didn't like it, and I didn't think it was a good movie. Okay, so before I do any of that, I'm going to take this hit. I just ate a gross Wendy's meal that was also delicious and totally worth it. But I don't know. The guy in line in front of me had some, he was in this big ugly truck and he had these gross Trump stickers on the back of his truck. And I don't know. The whole experience just kind of turned me off. I was about to just turn around and pull out of the parking lot, but then I was like, I just drove all the way here. I'm fucking hungry. I'm getting some fucking Wendy's. But I don't know. I mean, I was already turned off to fast food. I don't eat fast food except as a treat. But I might, once and for all, just never eat fast food again. I don't know. I haven't decided yet. But that experience was definitely a turn off. I mean, just the idea that that's the clientele. Like, those are the people who I'm eating with. Deplorables. It's disgusting. I don't want any part of it. So I might be done with fast food. I really would just eat Wendy's every once in a while as a treat, but I might even be done with that. I did have these nice gift cards that I got as a bonus, though, so figured I would put them to use. Not to good use. Put to use. All right. I'm going to take this hit. Oh, and I also kept my distance from this person. I just, like, kept, like, a car length behind them. I just stayed away from them. And then they kind of stopped as they were pulling out, weirdly. And someone had, like, honked at me when I was sitting in line. So, I don't know. It was a weird thing. But yeah, I think I might avoid fast food altogether from now on, even Wendy's, which was always my favorite fast food. All right. I'm going to take this hit. Smoke if you got 'em. Chin chin. And I'm not going to let this bring me down. I'm not going to let it ruin my Christmas Eve. And I almost didn't go, but I was hungry and I wanted to treat myself on Christmas Eve. with my gift card. It ended up being a little more expensive than I thought it would be, but then I looked at the food tax in Massachusetts, and it's 6.25%. So I guess it does make sense. It does check out. Now I have this delicious Fanta Orange to sip on, so it was worth it. And now time to have a nice post-meal smoke and talk to you fine people. I don't know what I'm... Maybe I should have a term for the Video Nasties fans. I could call you Nasties. I like that. I could also call you VN Heads, which I like. Video Nasties Heads. And then I also thought, like, Time Crisis has the TCU, which is the Time Crisis Universe. So I thought maybe I could start using this term, the VNU, which is the Video Nasties Universe. VNU. I don't know. It's an idea. I mean, they obviously pulled that from the MCU, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which I'm not a fan of, and I don't like to be reminded of. You know, they did it as a kind of joke, even though I think they do like some Marvel movies. And I like some Marvel movies okay. I mean, I've seen ones that I didn't think were terrible. Like Ant-Man. Even without Edgar Wright. I thought the movie was halfway decent. Anyway, this isn't about that. There's already been an Ant-Man episode. So I'm going to get back into the Matrix Resurrections, the Matrix 4, and give you a little preview of my Christmas Eve evening. So smoke if you got them. Chin chin. Ooh, this tastes a little peppery. So I just picked up some Scout Breath. Picked up 3.5. Potency, TAC, 26.6. Oh yeah, but then the person who checked me out was possibly a person of color, so that made me feel better about the Wendy's thing. I'm still talking about the fucking Wendy's thing. Because I, like, my mom and my sister, they want to start doing Christmas Eve, and they were like, oh, don't go out, and then I was like, I want to go out and get some food, because I'm fucking starving. And they're going to start cooking, but, like, it's Christmas Eve, it's, like, my early weekend, I wanted to have some fun, I had the gift card, I think it's because I ate shitty food, and it's making me feel shitty, and it's bringing me down, so now I'm, like, all down on myself about going to Wendy's. But you know what? It was fucking worth it. And it taught me a lesson. I learned my lesson. I had my fun on Christmas Eve. Maybe that's one of my New Year's resolutions. Never eat fast food again. Even if it's vegan. Vegan junk food, on the other hand. Now that's another story. Okay, so I'm gonna finish this bowl and then pack another because I'm really looking to get high, and I'm hoping with this weed, it's creeper weed, and it sneaks up on me because I'm really not feeling much right now. This is, okay, it's not straight indica, but it's indica dominant. Does that mean it's a hybrid? I don't know. Here, let me read you the description of Scout Breath, and this is more relaxing. As opposed to energizing. Origin, OGKB 2.0, XOGKB 2.0. Scout Breath is an indica, quote, Scout Breath is an indica dominant strain, has cushy earth aromas, knockout power, and a real presence. The mother of this potent cultivar was the 2015 I
Maybe.
CMAG Cup champion, and Scout Breath carries on that legacy as a champion contender. All right, it's the real deal. Strong stuff. Yeah, yep, it's creeper weed. It's hitting me. All right, but I am going to take this hit to clear it and then pack another. But I'm just going to keep the tape rolling. I'm just going to keep talking to you fine people. But you will have to give me one moment. I feel like I'm back at work. One moment, please. So, yeah, The Matrix Resurrections. Okay, I wasn't a fan. I told you some reasons why. I thought Jessica Henwick was okay. I've never seen her before, I don't think. And she was alright. I mean, I think she was the right choice. Like, she kind of fit in. But it was like, you first see her and it's like the first scene from the first Matrix redone. They even say, "No, Lieutenant, your men are already dead." But, like, they say it in this kind of, like, jokey, like, knowing way. And then she's, like, in the closet with, like, this dude, and they're watching the scene play out, but it's not Trinity. It's, like, a different woman. And then you see this scene on the rooftop play out differently. Anyway, it all just kind of fucked me up, and I just, like, I wasn't into it. Like, if you're gonna do a sequel, do something different with it. Bring something original into it. Don't just rehash the first one. If I look at The Matrix 2 and 3, I mean, I just think, I mean, again, I haven't seen The Matrix 3 in, like, fucking 20 years, like, since it came out. And I remember the end, I remember the climax, but that's, like, the only part. I remember, like, some other things, but yeah, I mean, the second one, like I said, I did watch recently. It's really a terrible movie, and that's, I guess, the problem with it, is it's just bad. It's just a bad movie, but I don't know. I mean, I did bring this up during the Brian Smith interview way back, years back on this pod, and it's this idea that Edgar Wright kind of introduced and discussed. I don't even remember. Oh, I think it was that commentary, that Hot Fuzz commentary with Quentin Tarantino. It's this idea that The Matrix sequels didn't really work, and I'm paraphrasing sort of here. He said one of the reasons The Matrix sequels didn't work is that where do you go from the first one or after the first one when your main character has literally become a god? You know, where do you go from there? So I think the first Matrix is a perfect movie, and oh my god. And I think it has a great ending. Neo flies up into the sky. It's one of Keanu Reeves' best performances. And Neo flies up into the sky, you know, cut to black. That's it. That's the Matrix. That's the story. Now, of course, the movie was insanely successful, and I'm sure there was studio pressure to make the sequels, and maybe, again, to go back to that conversation in the movie with the new Agent Smith, maybe what some of that was, or maybe what I should say is maybe some of that was true, maybe there was some truth to that, like maybe the first one was so wildly successful that the studio said we're going to go ahead and make a sequel or two sequels with or without you. You know, we want this to be a big trilogy. This was,
I guess this was in the wake of Lord of the Rings, so they were studios were probably scrambling to get trilogies out there. So I think maybe the Matrix trilogy kind of came from that. And then of course there was the new Star Wars movies which were coming out at that time. So there was like the new trilogy, but that started it started the same year as The Matrix. The reason it's complicated is that Star Wars was existing IP. Star Wars was like the original trilogy in terms of like a big, massively successful, huge trilogy. Obviously, trilogies had existed before then. The one I'm thinking of is the Blood Island trilogy, which is from the 60s, from the Philippines. So, yeah, I mean, clearly trilogies, that idea had existed forever, but I guess the first Star Wars was the first trilogy of its kind where it was just like this massive thing. Like, it was massively successful, but like, it wasn't even just that. It was a phenomenon. It was just like, it just became this like huge part of popular culture, which it still is. You can still walk into like most stores. I was just in Marshall's and I even bought one. I bought a Baby Yoda, deck of cards for my mom as like one of her presents because she loves Baby Yoda. She thinks he's really cute, and he is cute. But it's, yeah, I mean, that's Star Wars IP. That's money. I don't know if that's money going in George Lucas's pocket, but I mean, maybe some of it, I don't know. That's his IP, along with whoever else owns Star, well, Disney owns Star Wars now. Yeah, so wait a minute. Does Lucas still own anything, or did he just sell it all to Disney? I don't know. I really don't know. But hold on one second. But my point is, so you have this Matrix trilogy, which sucks, except for the first one, which is a classic movie. And then you have them dipping back into the well with The Matrix 4, and it's unsuccessful, in my opinion. So that's my point there. There's also the Animatrix, which I mentioned, which I was hoping The Matrix Resurrections was going to be even better than, but I think the Animatrix is still the best thing in the Matrix universe besides the first one. Again, classic film. A classic piece of cinema. Revolutionized cinema and special effects. Yeah, just an amazing movie. So tonight I think I'm gonna watch The Hateful Eight on Netflix, the extended version, which they presented as a kind of a mini series with 4 episodes with added footage. So it's, I think, I guess it's the Roadshow version, but I think it's like with even more added stuff. I really don't know, but yeah, that's a tradition for me. I watch that every year. I also watch Neo Yokio Pink Christmas. These can both be found on Netflix, which I'm not a fan of and I'm not promoting, but both of these happen to be on there, and it is the only place you can find that version of The Hateful Eight where it's the miniseries version, the 4 episodes, which to my knowledge is the most extended version. It has actually the most footage of any version, even the Roadshow version, I think. I don't know for sure. And I actually never saw the Roadshow version, which I don't know if I've ever admitted on this podcast. I'm really embarrassed about. But I never went and saw the Roadshow version of The Hateful Eight. I did see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood on 35mm, though. So. Okay. In Coolidge Corner, Boston. So, oh, wait, hold on one second. I'm going to need to pause for a second. Okay, I'm back on. So, what are my Christmas movies this year? The Hateful Eight, Neo Yokio, Pink Christmas. I was going to watch Gremlins, the first one, which is a Christmas movie, but I don't know. I don't know if it's really worth it. I think if you're going to watch a Gremlins movie, I think the second one is the right choice. And then I'm going to watch Elf with the fam. I'm going to watch Charlie Brown Christmas with the fam, which I love. I love the music from that.
That's some of my favorite Christmas music of all time. The Vince Guaraldi trilogy music from the Charlie Brown Christmas. And I don't know what else. I'll be back on tomorrow to report back to you. As you can probably tell from my voice, I'm chilling. I'm getting into the Christmas spirit. And I'm feeling good. I'm feeling happy, relaxed, satisfied with my life right now. I'm trying to be at peace with things. I'm trying to live in the spirit of generosity. I remember last year I had an asshole. There was an asshole on the highway. And I probably did something too. I was probably a dick. But I don't know. I feel like people are kind of like worse on Christmas Eve. I think because you're supposed to be nice. People are, they want to go against that. They want to say, fuck that. I'm going to be even more of an asshole. And I think, you know, some people don't like Christmas. Some people don't like holidays. They don't like it. They're not into it. They're grumps, you know, they're Grinches. And I'm trying to go against that. I'm trying to get into the holiday spirit here, people. And part of that is smoking this bowl right now that I just packed. Yeah, this dude. Okay, so he had anti-Biden stuff on his truck. Now, that's whatever. I kept my distance. Like I said, it got a little weird, but nothing ultimately ended up happening. So, I'm good. I'm happy about that. My own manager has made an anti-Biden remark. Not to me, to someone else. I overheard it. And again, this is none of my business. That's why I keep my distance. But if you're a Trump person, if you're an asshole, if you're a Republican, you're an idiot, you're an ingrate. You know, you want to get up in people's faces. You want to give people shit. You want people to know your political opinion. That's why they do these things. They're children. I heard it once said best. Not all Republicans are stupid people, but all stupid people are Republicans. That's all I'm going to say about that. I don't get political on the podcast. I'm not a political person. I'm an apolitical person. I don't give a shit who you voted for. I don't give a shit what asshole politician you like. I believe one thing and one thing only about politics. It's show business for ugly people. That's what politics is. I don't give a fuck. I don't like politicians. They're actors. And I don't mean that in a good way. Even Joe Biden, who I voted for, who I'm happy as president, who just pushed back the date for student loan repayment, which is the best news I've heard in probably months, maybe all year. I don't know. I mean, that news, that's real news for me. That's amazing. So, that's all I'm going to say about that. The reason why it's such good news for me is I did defer on my student loan debt. So, anyway, that's moving on. I've been listening to the Eli Roth Quentin Tarantino interview. And one movie they discuss is Mother's Day, which is one of the best horror movies I've seen in the last few years. A great movie, so I just felt like I should mention that. And I did finally get to the end of the episode, and Quentin Tarantino finally went more into his idea for an Invasion of the Body Snatchers movie, which I won't go into too much here. You should listen to the episode to find out what it is. But I just think this is a great fucking idea. So I am going to give it to you. And then I'm going to cut it off for now. I mean, I will be on later. I'm going to be doing Christmas Eve stuff for the rest of the day, probably. And I do have to do some present wrapping. I'll probably do that later when everybody's asleep so nobody knows. And I can put it under the tree like a little elf. But Yeah. Kind of thinking I might watch Mean Girls this year. That's kind of a Christmas movie, and they showed that at the NewBev this month for Christmas. So, all right. Oh, and by the way, I wanted to watch more Christmas movies this year, but it just didn't end up happening that way. It didn't end up working out. Part of that was the Shaw Scope thing, or the Shaw Cinema, whatever it was, the Shaw Cinema Collection on Arrow. I ended up watching a lot of Kung Fu this month, which is sort of odd for December. I don't associate Kung Fu with winter or, I mean, not necessarily with winter. In fact, yeah, I really don't. Or with Christmas. I can't think of a single, like, Kung Fu scene that's, like, a snowy, even, like, wintry scene. I don't know. I just, like, associate... Okay, I got the most heavily into Kung Fu when I was living out in L.A. So, that is part of it. I do associate Kung Fu with, like, warm weather, sunshine, like, L.A. vibes. For whatever reason, Tarantino vibes, like, I don't know. But all right, let me take this hit. But yeah, so I got really into Kung Fu this month, watching that Shaw Brothers collection on Arrow, which I watched every single one of. At least that I hadn't seen. And I watched some that I had seen before. And, it was really fun and totally worth it. But I was able to watch some Christmas movies. I can only think of four, like, actual Christmas movies that I watched that I talked about on the pod in terms of them being, like, the title episode. I mean, like, the title movie for the episode. So those were Silent Night, Deadly Night 1 through 3. And National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. I might be forgetting one or two. I don't know. Anyway, hopefully I can plan it out better next year. Watch more Christmas movies. But I did what I could. I watched what I could. Today's episode is The Matrix Resurrections, obviously. And then tomorrow, I don't know what it'll be. Maybe it'll be The Hateful Eight. Even though there is already a Hateful Eight episode, which was the script reading, which I don't do anymore. I keep it all original here. So, that's it for me for now. I'm going to sign off. I'm going to take another hit, even though I just took a nice, tasty one. But I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to go enjoy my Christmas Eve. You all have a happy, healthy, safe, fun Christmas Eve, and I'll talk to you soon. Thank you for listening. The show is called Video Nasties. My name is Maxwell Haddad. Peace. Okay, sorry. I got really stoned and I didn't even talk about what I was going to talk about. So I'm sorry. I don't know what I said or what I talked about. I zoned out. I spaced out. But I'm going to talk about it now. So what it was Quentin Tarantino's idea for an Invasion of the Body Snatchers movie, which he talked about at the end of that History of Horror podcast episode that he recorded with Eli Roth. What he said at the end of that episode was he doesn't think this will ever happen, but he had this idea, and he said he could, you know, could possibly write the script or some, or like co-write it or something still. He said, like, that could possibly still happen, but, it's something that probably won't ever get made. So he said he likes all three versions of the Invasion of the Body Snatchers story. So the 1950s Don Siegel version, I want to say 53, maybe 56, I don't know. And then Philip Kaufman's 70s version from 1978, he referred to it as like the self-help version or something. The San Francisco version. And then there's the Abel Ferreira version And he likes Abel Ferreira, and I do too. And he likes his Body Snatchers from the 90s, I guess. I want to say 93. That's the one I've never seen. But I would like to watch it, especially now that it has a Quentin Tarantino recommendation. I have seen the 70s one a number of times. I love that movie. And the 50s one I love too. I actually saw part of it as a kid. My mom showed it to me as a kid. She loves it. And I still remember it. I was struck by it. And then I went and saw it when they screened it at the Criterion. It's so weird. I like don't really even remember like the name of... I mean, I remember it was the Criterion Cinemas. That's what it was called. Wow. I just kind of had like a weird moment. Because I haven't thought about it in a little bit. Criterion Cinemas was a movie theater in New Haven that's since been, I guess, bought and renamed. I guess it was owned by Bowtie Cinemas. And it was called Criterion Cinemas. And then maybe it's still called that. I really don't know. I haven't been back to New Haven in years. But... they used to do these screenings where they would show movies that weren't first run movies. So they were basically revival screenings that they would do. And one of the movies that they showed was the original Invasion of the Body Snatchers from... Oh yeah, they would call it movies with mimosas or movies and mimosas. They would do it on Sunday mornings. I think it was 11, and they would show these classic films on 35mm. And this was like, you know, like a half hour from my house. I grew up in like the suburbs of New Haven, so it was crazy. I mean, I saw all kinds of great shit. I saw Woody Allen's Manhattan, and I saw some great stuff. I saw Fight Club. That was, I think, part of the midnight movies that they would do. It's weird that I haven't thought about this for a while. But I think that's the only time I've seen the original Invasion of the Body Snatchers from start to finish. And Tarantino's idea, which he said he would want to, like, or it should be done, also in black and white. But... the reason for that is, or part of the reason for that is, he said it should be a direct sequel to the original Invasion of the Body Snatchers, the Don Siegel one. And it should take place in Mississippi, in like a very segregated part of Mississippi. So what it should be is like this event that took place in, I guess in the original was Northern California, would also have taken place simultaneously in Mississippi, in a very, you know, sort of like racialized, segregated part of it. And this would be the kind of concurrent story. And what would happen is, because I'm gonna try to explain this. You would have to listen to the episode and have Tarantino explain it to really understand it, because he explains it much better than I do, because it's his idea. So obviously he does. But what I can tell you is, he said something like, the pod people in the stories get a bad rap. But he said, yes, when, you know, this other version of you is grown, you know, what they are is their vegetables. And when this other version of you is grown in one of the pods, it has no emotions, no human emotions. So, yes, it takes away the bad... Or no, I'm sorry, it takes away the good emotions, but it also takes away the bad emotions. That's what it is. So, if you didn't have any of the negative things associated with human emotion, or the negative things associated with human emotions, then you could find a way to live in peace and harmony. And... this kind of like segregated racism would disappear. And so that was kind of the idea. And then he said at the end of the movie, Instead of this guy, I guess it's Fred McMurray, I think is his name in the original. He runs out and he's screaming, you know, on the highway. It's that famous end scene. And so it would be that kind of thing, but it would be like this really racist guy running out and saying, you know, help me, you know, they're getting along, you know, help us, you know, it's a disaster. Everyone's getting along, you know, something like that. Something like this guy in front of me at Wendy's would say, and is saying, you know, because people are getting along more now than they have in the past. But they're also not, and people are more isolated than ever. I actually tend to believe that more, that people are more isolated than ever. So, on that note, peace. Merry Christmas Eve.